Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message.
That we are the same. And that's what he does in this body metaphor, is he starts to say, can you imagine what a body would be if we all were made up of one part? Like you just see the eyeball roll in. Right? And that's us. Just the thing full of eyeballs. And so I wouldn't be speaking right now. I would have typed up with, I guess, my eye, everything that I'm saying. And we'd just have it up on the screen for you and you'd read it all because now I can't hear. Right? And he's talking about how if you're all one thing, then you're not really going to be able to do a lot of stuff because your function will just be one thing. But what I see so often, especially in the church, is we look at people with giftings that are different than ours, or people that look different than we do, and we say, I don't really want to be with you. You make me uncomfortable. You make me not feel like I am the better one. Or we all look at somebody and we look at somebody and they're up there singing and we're like, oh, God, why didn't you make me a singer? I mean, God, I just want to sing. I just want to be someone with this beautiful voice that people just flock to and flock around me. And I don't feel worthwhile. I don't feel like I'm worth anything because I can't sing. And so we put ourselves down because we think that those with other gifts are somehow more worthwhile than we are. This was happening in the church of Corinth as everybody was charging ahead trying to get these gifts, any gift that could make it so that they could stand up and show people how spiritual they were and how much better than everyone else they were. And they were all fighting with each other, trying to be able to talk one over the other person. But here's something that we're going to look at today. We're going to look at today the fact that in our diversity, in the fact that we are different from one another, there exists a unity. And in fact, unity, I'm going to use a big word here, hang on a second, is not the same thing as homogeny. What's homogeny? Right? Yeah. In other words, unity is not the same thing as all of us being the same. Okay, to be unified, you don't have to be the same. Because that's not unity. That's just being the same. And that's also something very weak. See, here's what we're going to see today is that in the Spirit, we find unity in our diversity. That's the big idea for today. If you've got a pen and paper, write that down. In the Spirit, we find unity in diversity. And so, in fact, what we're going to see is that if everybody looks the same and acts the same and talks the same and is gifted the same in a church, it means that that church may actually not be all that unified. What we also need to point out is diversity can cause some tension. We can end up fighting a little bit, butting heads a little bit because of our diversity. See, it's not us in our human nature that seek out diversity and seek out unity in that diversity. For us, naturally, we want to fight with people that are different than us or avoid people that are different than us. But when you become a Christian, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. And through the Spirit, you become a member of the body of Christ. You are unified in Christ with those that are different than you. Paul says, not everybody is gifted the same. Not everybody is going to look the same by design. He's like, listen, I don't want a bunch of people that all can sing, but nobody has the ability to pick up a chair. We have to have diversity. And what you'll see in my first point today is that unity in diversity in the church is an echo of God's nature. Unity in diversity in the church is an echo of God's nature. Little theology lesson for you. you'll notice that we talk in church about God the Father, about God the Son, or Jesus Christ, and then we talk about God the Holy Spirit. And some people, they jump to the conclusion that there are three gods, but there are not three gods. You see, God is one God, but he exists eternally as three distinct persons. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, there is diversity in God. These persons are not exactly the same, but they are so in tune with one another. They are so united in love with one another that, in fact, the Greek Orthodox Church has a name for describing the relationship between these. It's called perichoresis, which roughly translated means interpenetration, or this idea that they're in a dance, that they are within each other and through each other, that they are a part of each other, and yet they are separate. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, like, my goodness, I'm never going to understand this. Like, this doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about, Pastor Stephen? Like, you're nuts. I'm out of here. But I want to encourage you that I don't understand this either. And I'm glad I don't. Because can you imagine how depressing it would be if you could understand the God that made you? Like, if you could fully understand God, and then you're thinking about it one day, and you're like, hey, you know what? If I can understand every single thing about God, doesn't it then follow that maybe, just maybe, I could have made him up? But I mean, coming up with God who exists eternally in three persons but is just one God, not three gods, like, that makes our brain kind of hurt. Right? It makes our brain hurt. And I'm glad, because I go, nobody in their right mind would have made this stuff up. Nobody. But here's what we see. We see that they are distinct. They are diverse. But that diversity does not mean that they are not together in unity, because in fact, they are the very picture of unity. They're so unified that they are one. And yet they're three. They're three, but they're one. And so when we look around our church and we see that that people are different than us, we shouldn't run away from that, but we should rejoice, because that means that God is present. His Spirit is present, working in people to bring different people together, diversity into unity. Second thing I want you to see today is that unity and diversity creates strength. Unity and diversity creates strength, right? I mean, if we're all the same, then there's going to be something that comes along that we can't handle, right? You can write this down. When faced with some challenges, you will be gifted where I'm not. When faced with some challenges, I'm going to go into a situation, I'm going to be like, God, I don't even know what to do here. Like, I guess with your help, I can go along with this, but there's someone else in here, and they're like, what's the problem? Like, you just do this thing. It's easy. And I think sometimes when that person comes in, let me use computers as an illustration, you know, you'll be fighting with that computer. And you've done everything but throw it out the window, right? You've restarted it. You've done it all. And so you phone up your computer buddy. And he comes in and you explain the problem. And while you're explaining the problem, he comes over and he hits one button. It works now. Walks away. You just want to kill that person. I mean, they did something nice. It's great. Your computer works now, but you just wasted 3 hours and then they made you look like a doofus. In fact, in the tech industry, sometimes they have a little joke that's called an ID10T error. And if you don't know what that is, just write down ID10T and you'll get it. But idiot. There we go. In any case, some people are gifted for things that I am not gifted for. I am gifted for things that you are not gifted for. But can you imagine the horrible, horrible thing if we were all gifted for the exact same thing and then something came along that didn't fit within our giftings? We'd implode. We couldn't handle it. We'd just be like, God, I don't know what to do. And be like, well, I tried to send that guy to you 2 months ago, but you kicked him out. He could have helped you. Another thing that I see is that people of different ages have much to learn from each other. You know, we like to break things off into groups. And you know, children's ministry, I get that. They're young. Their lives are different. They need stuff. But they also need to know that they're a part of this church. That's why we keep our children in the service with us as long as we can. We want them to sing songs with us. When we have communion, we want them to be a part of communion with us. We want them to know that they are a part of this. And then they go downstairs so that they can be taught at a level that they understand. But you'll also notice that when they hit 12 years old, we're like, hey, guys, you're upstairs. Like, you're in some cultures, you're adults now. Like, come on up. You're good. You get to listen with the adults. And the reason we do this isn't just to be mean. It's not because we want them to be bored. You guys aren't bored, are you? That's good. See, a lot of. We'll talk later. But see, the thing is we need to understand that the church is not just 20 to 30-year-olds. A healthy church is not just 50-plus. A healthy church is not just 10 and under, because where are the parents, right? We have things that we can learn from one another. Let me give you an example, okay? Younger people can learn from older people because there is a wealth of experience and knowledge and wisdom there. And I know that in our culture, we like to say, oh, those old people, like they don't know. They don't know what's going on. And I get it that there's some things, I mean, yeah, don't go to an older person to work on your new iPhone or your new computer, okay? But when you're having something in your life that you need wisdom into, or if you need mentorship in your walk with God, guess what? God has placed people in around you that you can go to who can pour into you and help you to grow. But let me reverse this on you. Older people have things to learn from younger people, and not just computer stuff. Okay, I mean, I consider myself young, but I also am starting to feel that I'm getting old. Four kids will do that to you, I've found. But as I approach 30, I'm finding that I just don't have the same energy that some of my younger friends do. Right? And I can only assume that this gets worse, right? Am I right? This gets worse? Yeah, that's what I thought, man. So these younger people, sometimes they're so energized in their faith, or they just have so much energy and so much passion. And listen, instead of saying, well, I don't really get them, and they talk funny, and man, they dress in really tight clothes. Like, what is with that? Big beards, they're not lumberjacks. Why are they doing this? And instead, just get together with them and allow them to be able to feed into you with some of that energy and some of that passion that they have. Here's another thing that young people can really help with. Young people aren't really big on the status quo. See, as we get older, we start to get comfortable and we say, oh, you know, I just love this song. It's one of the new ones. It was written 150 years ago. Oh, that's good. I know this is a sensitive area for some people, I'm sure. But then the young people, they come along and they're like, I don't understand what they're talking. Who's Ebenezer? That's Scrooge? Why are you talking about this? What's thy mean and thou mean? And all? I don't understand. And so they shake things up. They're like, guys, listen, this isn't what people outside the church listen to. They listen to this stuff over here. And so they bring that in. Or they're like, you know, guys, like, I get that you like your 100-pound, 300-year-old pulpit, but let's get something that's more personable. And so they break us free and they shake us up. And listen, we can rub each other the wrong way. We sit there and we're like, But what does the Bible say? It says, iron sharpens iron. And so our differences cause strength, and they cause us to be able to grow as we get together. So we've got what? We've got gifts that are different, can strengthen us. We've got different ages, can strengthen us. Here's one. Men and women have things to learn from each other. Guess why? Because we're different. We're different. And so don't just say, you know what, woman over there and men over there, because we're so different that we don't have anything to learn from each other. No, no, no. See, we're all made in the image of God. And so to say that men have everything that they need and women have everything that they need, listen, God made men and he looked at us and he said, yeah, that's not good enough. And so he made us another half. Okay, and so I get it. There might be people here and you're single or you're not with someone. You're like, oh, what are you saying? Are you saying that I can't? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that, you know what, if you're not in a place where you're having a relationship, just have a friend. Allow yourself to have friends that are guys if you're a girl or girls if you're a guy and not married. But allow people from different perspectives to feed into your life, people with different strengths and weaknesses to feed into your life and feed into theirs. Because that's what makes us strong. My third thing today that I want to share with you is that unity and diversity prepares us to love and engage those who are different than us. Unity and diversity prepares us to love and engage those who are different than us. See, if the only people we feel comfortable around are people that are just like us, we get really, really tempted to only hang out with people that are just like us. And then we say, God, why is it that we never reach anybody that's different than us? Why is it that we never reach any of the unchurched people out there? I mean, come on, God. What's the problem? And meanwhile, he's looking down and he's like, you guys can't even get along with each other when you're different. And so then you're going to say that you're going to come to someone with a totally different worldview and you're going to be able to touch their life. And so you see, we need to begin to be unified in our diversity, because as we do that, we learn that that can be a strength and we'll begin to be comfortable sharing our faith with people that are different than us. And so suddenly, your neighbor who's next door, who we've been saying, hey, get to know your neighbors, love your neighbors, do things for them where they're like, that person's crazy and I love it because now I don't have to mow my lawn. Or as we're coming up to, now I don't have to shovel my sidewalk, rake the leaves. But that can be difficult because they live right next door to us, and some of us, they annoy us a little bit. You know, maybe some of us, we get awkward because when we go over and we knock on their door and we want to interact with them, maybe they smell a little bit like pot and they're a little bit out of it. And, oh, man, I don't know if I can handle this. Handle it. Don't be afraid of people that are different than you. Don't be afraid of people that aren't the same, that don't hold the same beliefs, that are not holding themselves by the same standard as you, because guess what? They don't follow Jesus. Of course, they're not following the same standards as you. This can also help us with those that are new to faith. I think sometimes we think that because somebody gave their life to Jesus, they're now completely perfect. You know, they're just like Jesus now. And oh my goodness, they messed up. Get out! But let me ask you this. If someone gives their life to Jesus and they come in the next day and they swear a little bit, is that okay? Are we all right with that? That if somebody just gave their life to Jesus, they come back the next week and they're still swearing a little bit, are we okay with that? I'm seriously looking for some input from people. Are we okay? Yes. So they come back a month later and, you know, they're still swearing a little bit. Are we okay with that? Yeah. 6 months later. Are we okay with that? Yep. That was a bit more. Yes. A year later, we see that they're progressing in their faith, that they are serious about this, but they still maybe don't talk the way that we want them to. Are we okay with that? Yes. Yes. Because none of us is perfect. I don't care how long you've been doing this. You could have been a Christian since the time that you were little. Guess what? You probably still struggle with something. You're just better at hiding it. And so really, I'd rather deal with somebody that is genuinely following Jesus and doesn't hide their, crap, than somebody that decides that they need to shovel it all onto this little tiny area and bottle it up inside and then put on a mask before they come to church. Let's be real with each other. Let's love each other. And let's embrace our diversity as the Holy Spirit brings us to unity. See, in the Spirit, we find unity in our diversity. We don't want to be the same. We're the same in the things that really matter. You're a human being. That's good enough. You follow Jesus. That's good enough. And so here's what I see is when I look out into Pincher Creek, I see people that are different than us. In fact, I go out of my way to interact with people that are different than us. That's the reason why I sit on the board of the Chamber of Commerce here. It's not because I'm trying to turn our church into a business. It's because they're people that are different than us, and it gives me an ability to be able to be a light somewhere where nobody else is shining. Right? So go places that are different and understand that this town needs Jesus. This town is hurting. There are people that are lost, that they don't see light. All they see is darkness and they're depressed. But we're told to be salt and light, to be flavor in this world, a preserving agent in this world, but also to be light, something that attracts people. See, when you're in the darkness and you see the light, if you're doing things that are wrong, you might run, but at some point you get attracted to that light. But if that light is always stuck within its church or always hiding in its home or in its little corner, the good neighborhoods of town, because we're afraid of all those other people, then they're not going to see the light. But we're told that when you have a light, you put it what? You put it up somewhere high where it can be seen. And you go into the darkness so that the darkness can be broken. You understand what I'm saying? See, in the Spirit, we find unity in our diversity. I think that's important that we go out into the world. But here's the thing is, if we go into the world while we're still fighting, where we're still saying, that person's like me, that person's like me, so I'll gather together with them, and that person over there, they can go find somebody else to be with. Then we're going to be people that are a light for a while, and then they come and they see something that's like, I'm not accepted here. These people aren't, they don't even get along. So here's what I want you to do this week. Just one thing. This week, take time to connect with someone in our church who is different from you and see what you can learn from each other. Take some time to connect with someone in our church who is different from you and see what you can learn from each other. This is an easy challenge. Okay? Like, you don't even have to leave the building to do this. After service, you could walk up to someone that's different than you and go, this is awkward, but Pastor told us to do it. So this is my name. This is where I'm coming from. Hey, do you want to have coffee later this week? And boom, action step done. Congratulations. You're on your way to learning something, to being stronger. But I truly believe that as we gather together and as we practice this unity in diversity, and then as we strive forward on our mission, which is to reach the unchurched and disciple believers to be like Jesus, we'll suddenly have both of those happening. It's great to go to your neighbors. It's great to reach people for Jesus. But if after you reach them, you ignore them or you say that you're too different, it's not going to do anything. So let's disciple believers to be like Jesus. And let's reach the unchurched. Amen? Let's pray. God, I just thank you. I thank you that even amidst our differences, that we can understand that this is by design, that we're not designed to be exact carbon copies of one another, but that each of us brings something to the table, that each of us has something that can play into supporting someone through a difficult time, a difficult moment, or through their brokenness, that each of us, as we are a blessing to others, is also blessed by others. And so, Lord, today, just help us. Help us to take this seriously and to truly begin to break outside of our comfort zone and our little molds that we make, but begin to really impact others and learn from others. And as we do that, Lord, I ask that you will stir something within ourselves, a passion for you and a passion for those that are far from you. And Lord, that you will give us great wisdom as we go forward into our community and as we begin to minister to those who you've put right around us. And so we thank you today for all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.